Seated. Good morning, beautiful Unity Renaissance. Oh man, it's so good to be home. You might think that being in Florida was pretty darn wonderful and it had its good points, but there's no place like home. And it's great to be back. I missed all of you so very much. Really enjoying seeing your beautiful faces this morning. Richard and I were down in Tampa for the 10th Annual Positive Music Awards, which is sponsored by his nonprofit, Empower Music and Arts. So we discovered a lot of great music, and you're going to be hearing it in the coming years, so we look forward to that. And just so great to be with you as spring begins to come forth. Everybody feeling that lightness today? That's the beautiful thing about springing forward in time is that it has the word spring in it. So we'll see about the others who show up later. But welcome, and I hope that you have that great uplifting feeling in you this morning as you come through those doors, that you feel this great God energy that is the truth of this spiritual community and the truth indeed of who you are. So, here at Unity Renaissance, we hold the vision for, together, a spiritually awakened world, living in peace, love, and joy. And we work towards that vision through our mission, which is, we transform lives that transform the world. All about transformation starting here. So let's begin our time together this morning with prayer. I invite you to close your eyes if that's comfortable for you. Take a deep breath in. Just filling your lungs with the wonderful energy of spirit. Knowing that truly you are in the right place at the right time, you are just where you're supposed to be. You are here by divine appointment today to both be a blessing and receive blessings. And in ways that you may not even realize, you make a difference. Your light shines forth and touches others. And when we come together in community in this way, our light shines so very brightly. And so we bless each and every soul here, all those souls to whom we are connected as we send our love out in a radiating wave, truly to transform the world, giving thanks for every step of our journey and the joy of sharing it together. And for these many gifts and so very much more, we are grateful. And so it is. Amen. A friend of mine back in Portland had a long-standing vendetta against his father, and he told me about the terrible thing that his father had done, although it had never actually been confirmed that his father did this. But he told me that it was exceedingly painful for him, and that the only reason he kept up communication with his dad was so that his son could have a relationship with his grandfather. Well, eventually my friend said it was just too much for him. He couldn't stand the pain anymore. And he decided that he would sever all ties, not only with his father, but also with his mother, because he believed his mother was siding with his dad. And so he said to me, "I will never speak to them again." And as far as I know, he hasn't. Perhaps you know someone who has said something like this, who has taken a vow that they're not going to budge, they're not going to change, they're not going to give in. Perhaps at some point in your life you've made a vow like that. It's really like saying, "I'm going to draw this line in the sand, and I'm not crossing it. This is my story, and I'm sticking to it." Well, when we do that, we put ourselves in kind of a tough spot because now we've made a commitment that we are going to do or not do something, and now we have to follow through on that. And at the beginning, that can seem very easy because we're all hepped up. We're angry. Boy, I'm going to show them, right? I'm self-righteous. I got this. But then over time, it starts to get a little bit harder. And we may reach a point where we look at our own situation, or perhaps we look at someone else's situation like this, and we think, who is really served by this? Who really wins in this scenario? Well, no one. Because the person harboring the grudge still has that pain in them that they're shackled by. And the people that they're retaliating against are confused and cut off and angry, not really knowing what to do with that. And so where there was once an opportunity for reconciliation or perhaps even just a negotiated peace, there's now a gaping wound of unfinished business. Well, I asked a counselor once about this phenomenon. I said, why do we do this? Why do we cling to our grudges or our stories, even when they're making us miserable? And she said, most people would rather be right than happy. In other words, most of us would rather prove our case than be at peace. Now, that was really a stunning thought for me. When you hear that, doesn't that sound a little ludicrous? Like, why on earth would we want that? I mean, we all want to be happy, right? Of course we all want to be happy. But let's be honest. It also feels pretty great to be right. In fact, it feels wonderful to be right. It is awesome to feel right. Doesn't it just make your heart sing when somebody comes up to you and says, you are absolutely right? Or they might say, how right you are. Or the best of all, I see this now. I'm wrong. You're right. Isn't that just the best? Oh my gosh, it makes us fairly puff up like a peacock. Well, it makes part of us puff up like a peacock. And that part of us is, of course, the ego. Yes, the ego. The ego loves to be right. The ego lives to be right. Oh yes, yes, I am right. It's as if the ego is saying, look at me, how brilliant and magnificent and invincible I am. Oh, what a heady feeling. But enough about me. What do you think about me? Right? This is a... I think you're... I'm right. So this is the game that the ego plays. And actually, the ego serves a very important function in our life. I mean, I've never been of the school of thought that we should abandon our ego, because it's a very useful vehicle in our lives for kind of driving our persona through our human existence. That's one cute little baby there. Okay. It drives us along through our human existence. And the problem happens when it takes over, right? When it assumes control of everything, when the ego becomes the driving power in our life for who we are and what we do. So my favorite acronym for the word ego is edging God out. You heard that before? Edging God out. Because that is exactly what the ego does. It edges God out. We might say it elbows God out. When your ego is in charge, it's separating you from God, it's separating you from other people, and most importantly, it's separating you from who you truly are. This is the ego at work, creating this sense of division in us. And so the ego will say, if we encounter a difficult situation, I got this. Leave this to me. I will prevail. And the part of us that believes that thinks, okay, by prevailing, I'm going to be protected. I'm going to be safe. I will not have to be vulnerable. I'm going to be in control. We have all that sense of what we're going to get from this. But more often, the reality is what we get from being controlled by our ego. You think about it now. Any time in your life when you've been ruled by the ego, how'd you really feel? Usually we end up feeling alone, frightened, empty. Because the ego puts up a facade, and there's really no there there. There's nothing of substance really behind that facade. So I'd like you to think for a moment of a time in your life when you locked horns with somebody, okay? You had an argument or disagreement. Could have been recent, could have been a long time ago. I'd like you to think about how you felt when that was going on, when your ego was in high gear. Maybe you were ranting and raving. Maybe you were seething inside. But whatever it was, you had a sense of being very right and very justified. How did that feel? Leaving aside how hepped up you were and how self-righteous. How did it really feel? And I'd be willing to guess that underneath whatever bravado you were putting out there, there was a feeling of sadness and disappointment and fear. As if you're all alone. So now let's think about a time when you felt happy, when you felt at peace, when you felt at one with all of life. Maybe it happened here in this sanctuary. Maybe it was out in nature. Think about a time when you felt that beautiful sense of peace and contentment. Perhaps you felt the presence of God, whether you use that term or not. How did that feel? Did you in that moment have any sense of separation from anyone or anything? Did you have any sense of animosity towards another person? No. In fact, when you think about when you're in that state of mind, it's almost like that other way of being is like another realm, almost like foreign to you. You see, being right appeals to the ego, and it fosters a sense of separation, competition, we-they thinking, duality. But being happy stems from spirit in us, longing to reconnect with all that it is, and wanting to manifest fully through us. And it brings about a sense of oneness, a sense of peace, sense of gratitude, ease in life. In his book, Discover the Power Within You, Eric Butterworth says that the one true need in our lives is to get right in consciousness with God. Think about that. What if all of your time was spent focused on getting right in consciousness with God? Because when you're in that right consciousness, when you know who you truly are and you're acting from that divinity in you, everything else just sort of flows, doesn't it? It's like, what problem? What conflict? You're just awash in the sea of spirit. And you feel that integral to who you are. So Eric Butterworth says this is the one need in our lives, is to get right in consciousness with God. And when we get there, we find that if someone does something or says something that upsets us, we get to a point where we can know that the upset in us is because we were in a wrong state of consciousness. And we can move to make it right. We can get back in alignment. It's not an easy thing to accept. It's about what's going on in our consciousness. And this, of course, was the message of Jesus, was it not? You know, Jesus did not tell us how to change other people. And your soul is welcome here in case you forgot. It's all right, darling. Jesus did not talk about how to change other people. He talked about changing ourselves. Oh, right, yeah. Kind of forgot that, didn't we? Think about his main teachings. Love thine enemy, turn the other cheek. Do not be the one to cast stones. Judge not that you be not judged. Love God. Love one another without exception. Love one another without exception. It's really an inside job. Whatever is going on in our lives is an inside job. Now, I can practically hear some of you thinking, even if you wouldn't admit it, well, darn, I thought I could just blame all my problems on this person. It really is their fault. Well, we do that, don't we? And we can do that. But here's an example of what happens when we do. And it comes from my own life. So in the late 1980s, my father and mother went down to Delray Beach, Florida, where my dad grew up. They went for my dad's 40th high school reunion. And there on the dance floor of my dad's old high school, apparently he fell in love with his high school sweetheart all over again. And as he danced with her and learned that she was divorced, he had the epiphany that she was the one he should have married so long ago. And so very soon after that, as soon as he possibly could, he divorced my mother, who'd been married to for 38 years, to go off and live with his high school sweetheart in wedded bliss. And so that is what transpired. Well, perhaps you can guess what happened next. Because just as he had come to blame my mother for his unhappiness, he eventually blamed his new wife for his unhappiness. And only a little more than a year later, he had become involved with the married woman down the street. And had she not been willing to leave her husband, or had she been willing, to leave her husband, he would have divorced his second wife and moved on to her. Well, we see this pattern in life, don't we? And we have a name for it. Same dance, different partner. Or another way of putting it might be, always going where we have the illusion that the grass is greener, which is precisely what my father was doing. And as he continued to project outward what his problems were, rather than doing his inner work, he found that each green spot he moved to turned brown. But think about this for a minute. So here you are in your life, you're not happy. Oh my gosh, this job, this person, this relationship, this city, whatever it is, this is going to be perfect. I'm just going to run over there to that. Well then, by golly, that doesn't work out either. Okay then, I'm going over here. Then you look back at the pattern and you see, golly, all those green patches have turned brown. What's the common factor here? You. So you have an opportunity, and your opportunity is not to grow by jumping from green patch to green patch, but to grow by staying where you are and noticing, oh my goodness, the verdant green grass that I was once standing on here is now beginning to die. What's that about? What am I to make of that? What am I to learn? What am I to learn from this? How can I see this differently? With the idea that once we have those insights, then we don't have to go repeat the lesson over and over and over again. I realize this is much easier said than done. It takes a lot of courage, and it takes a lot of self-love, honestly, to look inside and see where maybe, you know, you weren't showing up the way you would ideally like to. You have to really know yourself, a spirit within you, and love yourself through it. Because this behavior, whatever it is not the truth of you. And you can make those course corrections to get it right. But it takes humility, honesty, and courage to do your interior work. You know, a lot of times in relationships we think, as my dad did, well, this is going to be happily ever after. And we learn that in fairy tales, and we learn that in the movies. And Eric Butterworth says, that's really not what it is, and I love this term that he uses as he describes a marriage or a committed relationship, if you will. He says it's a laboratory for individual unfoldment. It's a laboratory for individual unfoldment. How beautiful is that? That really this is a coming together of two beings, each to grow in their own way, to grow together, to grow individually. It doesn't necessarily mean that the couple will stay together. It may mean that their growth takes them elsewhere. And that's okay. But there can be a recognition that whatever is appearing now as a challenge to the couple, the soul has attracted, and that the very thing you may most want to run away from is the very point for your breakthrough. We don't always see that, do we? And so as we make these choices about whether we want to be right or whether we want to be happy, we're really looking at, do we want to be driven by ego or do we want to be driven by God? Do we want to live an ego-centered life or a God-centered life? So here's some practical tips for you. Here's how you can tell if you would rather be right or happy. Here are some telltale signs. You know you're more interested in being right than happy when everyone else is the problem. It has nothing to do with you. When you refuse to look at your own behaviors and attitudes or work on your own growth. When you build your prospects for being happy on some outer change of events, not that that can't contribute, but the real work begins here. The real work begins with a shift or an awakening within you. Or you steadfastly refuse to apologize or forgive, and you think consciously or unconsciously, I'll show them or him or her. Well, how do you know when you're more interested in being happy rather than right? You begin to question the stories that you make up about yourself and other people. You lovingly realize that you share the responsibility for anything that has gone right or wrong in a relationship. You find it easy to say, oops, I made a mistake. I really messed up here. Will you forgive me? You can laugh at yourself. And you can see the truth in Shakespeare's statement that all the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. And you no longer identify with the role that you're playing. You know yourself as the spirit that brings it to life. That's getting right in consciousness with God. You know, we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. And lately I've had this kind of image of that in my mind, probably brought on by the Eben Alexander book, which continues to have big impact on me. But I have this image of spirit as being God energy moving through the world, always present. And in the same way that we put on a piece of clothing at the beginning of the day, during this lifetime, God energy or spirit has decided to put on us. Right, Judy, Kitty, Lisa, Paula. Oh, I think I'll be her for this lifetime. We'll see how this goes. Spirit basically puts us on. And we think that what's going on here is the real thing. But it's this animating force within us that is the truth of who we are. The animating force that lives on beyond this life of ours. Just as we drop our clothing at the end of the day, spirit drops our body and moves on to the next. When we connect with that spirit in us, we're in right consciousness. And we're happy. Can you feel that? Exactly. And I find now that when I go into my meditation, I become very aware of this. It's very much wanting to connect with the animating force in me, spirit in me, and dropping the outer clothing, if you will, of the role, of the persona, of the stories, of the vendettas, of whatever it is. Just help me know that. Let me feel that. Really feel that in a very deep way. And if you don't already have a practice in your life of meditation or centering prayer, or something that helps you make that connection, I encourage you to look into it. You know, every day as we choose whether we're going to work on being right or being happy, we're really deciding whether we want to be coming from our human side or our divinity. Jesus called us into our divinity. He said, claim your divinity. You're the light of the world. Claim it. Let it shine. And this is what we do when we show up as the God spirit that we are. And I really love this analogy that Eric Butterworth makes in his book, where he kind of ties it all together and actually relates to the song that Richard sang. He says this, if you were to walk into a room full of people who were being hampered in their work by lack of light, and if you had a bright lamp in your hands, Would you turn your lamp down in reaction to the dim light of the room? No, you would bring as much light as you possibly could. But if you walk into a room of hostile people, what is your reaction? Normally, you meet their hostility with hostility of your own and walk away saying, "What an unfriendly bunch of people." Then he says, no matter what the difficulty around you or the darkness before you, turn on the light. No matter what happens, turn on the light and keep it on. Turn on the light and keep it on. Don't let ego lead you on a meandering path of self-righteous vows or vindictive vendettas against people. Stay open. Stay open to the unfoldment of spirit in and through and as you. Live your life one day at a time, not boxing yourself into vows for the rest of your life that are based on an ego decision. Live life one day at a time and wake up every day, knowing that here is another glorious possibility before me. Not so much to be right, but to be in right consciousness with God and to be happy. Let's prepare now for our meditation. I invite you to close your eyes and get comfortable in your seat. And just let go of any worries or concerns or random thoughts. Take a deep breath in. Enjoy the truth of your being, the presence of that animating spirit in you. And as you exhale, just release any more distracting thoughts, busy thoughts, we-they thoughts. This is a time to relax into spirit and know the truth. Let's take another deep breath in and let it go. Feeling grateful that Spirit has chosen to express through each of us in this lifetime. I invite you to take this opportunity to go now to the very center of your being, to that still place at the very heart of you. That is that light that is always shining. That eternal light of God that is always there for you, that is you. Your source of hope and strength, perseverance, insights. Your source of continuing on no matter what the challenge. A depth of potential and strength in you beyond all imagination. This is your refuge, not your ego. This is your place of peace, the wellspring from which happiness is found. Truly a sense of oneness and connection with all people and all of life. This energy moving through each of us may manifest in different ways, but it's the same energy. I invite you to feel that divine connection in this very moment with all of life. And to take a few moments to contemplate spirit in you and to feel that presence fully and deeply in the silence. We give thanks for this animating spirit in us, this innate striving for a higher good and a higher and fuller expression of all that we are. In the same way that we see the green shoots now of the daffodils and crocuses and tulips beginning to appear, we have that same upward striving in us. It's a striving to know more rightly the presence of God in us and in all people. And we know it at any time. We can simply let go and let God, and the way will be made clear. We give thanks for this truth. We give thanks for being here together. We give thanks for the joy of being alive. And for all these blessings on our path, for the opportunity to learn and grow, we are so grateful. And so it is. Amen.